The media missed her release from custody altogether. If the time of it had been known, a huge contingent would have descended on police headquarters, but many of the reporters were exhausted after the chaos and excitement that had ensued when Millennium reached the newsstands and certain members of the security police were arrested by other security police officers. The host of She on TV4 was the only journalist who knew what the story was all about. Her hour-long broadcast became a classic, and some months later she won the award for Best TV News Story of the Year. Modig got Salander away from police headquarters by simply taking her and Janini down to the garage and driving them to Janini's office on Kungholm's Kirkoplan. There they switched to Janini's car. When Modig had driven away, Janini headed for Södermalm. As they passed the Parliament building, she broke the silence.
"Where to?" she said.
Salander thought for a few seconds.
"You can drop me somewhere on Lundegarten. Miriam isn't there."
Salander looked at her. "She went to France soon after she got out of the hospital. She's staying with her parents if you want to get a hold of her."
"Why didn't you tell me?"
"You never asked. She said she needed some space. This morning Mikael gave me these and said you'd probably like to have them back." She handed her a set of keys. Salander took it and said,
"Thanks. Could you drop me somewhere in Falkengergarten instead?"
"You don't even want to tell me where you live?"
"Later. Right now I want to be left in peace."
"Okay." Janini had switched on her mobile when they left police headquarters. It started beeping as they were passing Slussen. She looked at the display.
"It's Mikael. He's called every 10 minutes for the past couple of hours. I don't want to talk to him."
"Tell me.
Can I ask you a personal question?"
"Yes."
"What did Mikael do to you that you hate him so much? I mean, if it weren't for him, you'd probably be back on a secure ward tonight." "I don't hate Mikael. He hasn't done anything to me. I just don't want to see him right now."
Janini glanced across at her client.
"I don't mean to pry, but you fell for him, didn't you?"
Salander looked out the window and did not answer.
"My brother is completely irresponsible when it comes to relationships. He screws his way through life and doesn't seem to grasp how much it can hurt those women who think of him as more than a casual affair."
Salander met her gaze.
"I don't want to discuss Mikael with you."
"Right," Janini said. She pulled over just before the junction with Östergarten. "Is this okay?"
"Yes."
They sat in silence for a moment. Salander made no move to open the door. Then Janini turned off the engine.
"What happens now?"
Salander said at last.
"What happens now is that as of today you are no longer under guardianship. You can live your life however you want. Even though we won in the district court, there's still a ton of red tape to get through.
There will be reports on accountability within the guardianship agency, and the question of compensation and things like that, and the criminal investigations will continue."
"I don't want any compensation. I want to be left in peace."
"I understand. But what you want won't play much of a role here. This process is beyond your control. I suggest you get yourself a lawyer to represent you."
"Don't you want to go on being my lawyer?"
Janini rubbed her eyes. After all the stress of the day, she felt utterly drained. She wanted to go home and have a shower. She wanted her husband to massage her back.
"I don't know. You don't trust me, and I don't trust you. I have no desire to be drawn into a long process, during which I encounter nothing but frustrating silence when I make a suggestion or want to discuss something."
Salander said nothing for a long moment.
I'm not good at relationships, but I do trust you."
It sounded almost like an apology.
"That may be. And it needn't be my problem if you're bad at relationships, but it does become my problem if I have to represent you."
Silence.
"Would you want me to go on being your lawyer?"
Salander nodded. Janini sighed.
"I live at Fiskegarten 9, above Mosabeka Torg. Could you drive me there?"
Janini looked at her client and then started the engine. She let Salander direct her to the address. They stopped short of the building.
"Okay," Janini said. "We'll give it a try. Here are my conditions. I agree to represent you. When I call you, I want you to answer. When I need to know what you want me to do, I want clear answers. If I call you and tell you that you have to talk to a policeman or a prosecutor, or do anything else that has to do with a criminal investigation, then I have already decided that it's necessary. You will have to turn up at the appointed place, on time, and not make a fuss about it. Can you live with that?
I can.
And if you start acting up, I stop being your lawyer. Understood? Salander nodded. One more thing. I don't want to get involved in a big drama between you and my brother. If you have a problem with him, you'll have to work it out. But, for the record, he's not your enemy.
I know. I'll deal with it. But I need some time.
What do you plan to do now?
I don't know.
You can reach me via email. I'll promise to reply as soon as I can, but I might not be checking it every day.
You won't become a slave just because you have a lawyer.
Okay, that's enough for the time being. How'd you get?
I'm dead tired and I want to go home and sleep.
Salander opened the door and got out. She paused as she was about to close the car door. She looked as though she wanted to say something but could not find the words. For a moment, she appeared almost vulnerable.
That's all right, Lisbeth, Giannini said. Go and get some sleep, and stay out of trouble for a while.
Salander stood at the curb and watched Giannini drive away until her taillights disappeared around the corner.
Thanks, she said at last,